From the creators of Relevant Magazine, this is the Relevant Podcast. Friday, January 18, 2019, and this is the Relevant Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and here with me in our Orlando studios, Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello!
Live and in the person.
So jealous.
Over there on the ones and twos, our illustrious engineer, my brother, Chandler Strang.
Hello.
On the Skype line from Nashville, Tennessee, Tyler Huckabee.
Hey, everybody.
And just down the road, where the internet finally works.
20 minutes farther away than she was 20 minutes ago.
Author, speaker, podcaster, cowgirl extraordinaire, Annie F. Downs.
Good morning, gents. What a day.
We have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, Francis Chan joins us.
Yeah.
We got him out of hiding.
I know. This was really cool.
He's elusive.
He is elusive.
He's like a Sasquatch.
Well, I found out where he was, and we talked about it a lot. He was in the Holy Land. He was in the Holy Land. He just said this. You know, like after kind of Numa, there's been like this, you know, there's not a void, but there isn't like these standout video teaching series. He's releasing one, 8-part series on the Book of Mark,
right.
Filmed live in the Holy Land. He literally does one of the teachings while standing in the Jordan River. I got to watch a bunch of this the other day. And they were like, you want to talk to Francis about it? Let me check it out. Let me vet this.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to talk. It is incredible.
Awesome.
You're going to hear about it later.
I like the idea of us sending a relevant roving reporter to find like the general in the movie who has to pull the grizzled old sharpshooter out for one last mission. You show this little hut in the Holy Land. And he's like,
Francis Chan's Wiley. I mean, like he'll get all successful, have a big ministry, and then he goes, nah. And he'll vanish.
That's right.
And he'll vanish for like a year.
But what you guys are describing is basically the plot of Rambo 4. When missionaries are captured in like Cambodia, and that is where
Rambo catalog.
Listen, this is how someone goes to find Rambo, who is a professional cobra hunter at this point.
Yeah.
That is literally, he's lived in a shack and he hunts cobras professionally, and he has to decide whether he takes the mission
to save
Rambo the missionaries.
Rambo the boxing movies? I'm sorry.
Oh,
no, that's
Annie.
Rocky.
Oh,
that's
Rocky.
Annie.
Annie. Sorry.
Hey, can we mute her as a penalty for 35 seconds?
Hockey. There's not
there
a penalty box.
Penalties
you don't
for not
like
growing up with brothers. No penalties for not growing up with brothers.
Most of the missionary hostage takers are killed with Rambo's bare hands. And the movie is a hard R. on the grounds of graphic violence.
A good 1980s hard R.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The hardest R.
Hey, I gotta apologize to you guys.
Look a little under the weather.
We're recording in the morning and I'm very tired and I can't shake it. I've had all the caffeine. Oh. I've had the breakfast. Mm-hmm. I can't shake it.
What's
I've
here?
Got like the clouds behind
so
my eyes.
So not sick. You just sleeping.
No, I'm just tired.
Up late?
Out of it.
Well, I was watching, you know, on DVR, The Bachelor and the Vanderpump Rules.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I was up
wow.
late.
Wow, this is user error.
But then,
right, this is a user error situation.
But it's boring. You know, it's a second screen situation for me when I do those.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't have my laptop out. So I didn't. So I was just fiddling around on my phone. Ended up getting into it with an internet troll later at night. And,
I read all of that,
took
Cameron.
A little time.
Was this on Twitter?
Why did you do that?
Okay,
why did
on.
You engage?
But before we go into it, because I saw it too.
Oh, okay.
And
yes, I read all of it.
Okay, first of all, I haven't reread it. It was a late night situation for me, and
that's
I woke up
I
to a whole lot of notifications.
So I think we all might have a brief take on this. We don't need to belabor it, but
I'm on pins and needles.
It's on my Instagram story. So it'll vanish.
But if you're listening to this, it's gone by now. So Cameron, why don't you just give us a brief synopsis?
Well,
of
I don't read the relevant comments. We talk about this famously.
Yeah.
You got to just
idea.
Ignorance
Good
is bliss,
idea.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, somebody apparently commented on one of Relevant's posts addressing me by name, mm-hmm. and a person saw that and tagged me and said to the guy, "You're a coward. Why didn't you why don't you actually tag him?" You know, if you're going to talk about him.
Yeah. So you got tagged in. They've shown the bat signal on the screen.
Then I got the notification. And it's late at night.
Rambo.
The Bachelor's getting a little boring. I see my name pop up. I check it out.
Yeah.
Okay, first mistake. That was the first mistake.
Huge. Also, you're implying that that happened at 8 p.m. last night when The Bachelor was on, and it was not.
I was DVRing it. No. I was late.
Yeah. You were late at night. You should know better.
This is 1 a.m. This is 1 a.m. Bachelor viewing. Got to catch up, fast forward through the commercials. You know what I'm saying? And apparently, you guys, thanks a lot for, first of all, you guys posted the very controversial Gillette commercial about being a dad. Like
so
having his son not be a bully.
Okay, before, because I want to get you into the nitty gritty of the exchange.
Oh yeah, we need
But for people who haven't seen the ad, that is supposedly very controversial. Here's what's controversial about it.
Uh-huh.
Gillette is making a statement that for far too long, men have gotten away with sexual harassment, with There's literally a clip of two kids like fighting and a dad pulling them off saying, this isn't how we solve our problems.
And it's saying we need to be better men and not toxic masculinity. And
for some reason, people found this message controversial. For some reason, back in my day, we bullied the nerds. Real men would just walk down the street groping everyone. We would give wedgies to whoever we please because we're men. It's like, okay, this is controversial. The conversation around what is appropriate and inappropriate conduct has gotten so controversial that an advertisement for razors that is persuading their customers who for this particular shaving product are men to live lives of integrity and not to sexually assault people and not to bully other people physically. In 2019, that is now a controversial message.
Tyler, this guy basically was saying to me that my father is the right example how he supports.
You should say correct with the left and right that's coming in your conversation.
So he made it personal. He said that your dad is caring. Like,
he said literally, like, you're a disappointment. Your dad, like, paved the right path. He supports Trump. You have scotch taped the New York Times onto the cross. You leftist
what does
liberal.
That mean? I didn't understand why he kept saying that.
It's
literally true. That's something that Cameron has in his new house. It's not a metaphor. It's just a decorative piece. It's not a statement.
I hate this more than I thought I would.
It's a high concept art piece.
It's over the master.
Banksy. It's very. I thought it was cool.
I don't want to make this personal, but I will say. That to be fair to this guy's point, the first time I met your dad, he shook my hand and gave me a wedgie. So I didn't want to make it personal.
Yeah, put you in your place.
No, but for some reason he kept saying like leftist and liberal, and it's like when did not punching another kid become a political issue? Like the root of the word political comes from the same root as policy, right? The ideas of, hey, let's treat people with respect and dignity and not fall
as
into
a policy as a society.
That's not political. Just because one political party happens to have elected someone who brags about sexual assault, that doesn't make it a political issue. I know plenty of very thoughtful, very intelligent, very caring people who consider themselves politically conservative that would have no objection to the message of this commercial. If anyone is projecting any sort of political message on it, that should be terrifying to that person because they have betrayed their own political ideology in favor of something disgusting and horrible. Right. And it says more about them and who they may have voted for than it does say anything about a razor company.
But apparently I'm a disappointment because you guys posted this leftist shrill on the internet.
Gillette.
And now
well-known progressive rabble-rouser. So
this guy was so offended by our leftist propaganda of posting the Gillette commercial that he went in deep on me and my dad and my relationship with my dad. And I'm like, you don't know me. You don't know my dad.
It
was weird.
But also, he's the kind of guy who is fighting on the internet at 1 a.m., which unfortunately you were too last night. But the kind of guy who's fighting on the internet at 1 a.m.
Because Bachelor wasn't that good last night. I just got bored.
Here's the thing. I rewatched the commercial right before we record. So here's the thing. I wanted to actually play audio from this, and in case you miss it, but I feel like in order for it to translate, you have to see the imagery.
It's a visual.
The juxtaposition between this like really obnoxious behavior that they're showing on screen with the voiceover is kind of how you bring the message home. So you can go to relevantmagazine.com, watch it, you can Google it, you can find it anywhere and watch it. But
just don't comment on it. Yeah. Or if you comment on it, don't tag me, please.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I watched it again after reading Cameron's story. It's like, okay, I'm going to watch it with the outrage filter on. Like, right. I'm going to try to see...
the world through this guy's eyes.
Yeah.
Right.
But, and I'm going to try to identify
get so offended watching it, Jesse, that you want to publicly talk about my relationship with my father.
And it was baffling. There, like what on...
Why are we giving this guy so much airtime, by the way?
We didn't say his name.
I think we started with Cameron's time.
I'm tired.
I think I was like struck by was when I was little, I don't know who's a disappointment to whose father, but when I was little, it was very common. I don't want to get into that. But when I was little, it was very common growing up in the conservative circles that I did to talk about how men these days need to toughen up. They need to be better examples. They need to be positive role models for the young generation. This was a pretty common conservative critique of masculinity. But then as soon as it became, as it seems like the political display of this has sort of switched, and now there's this pushback against the idea that anytime somebody says men should be better than they are, they're like, whoa, men should be better people. We don't touch those. Well, that doesn't sound right at all. What kind of agenda are you trying to put? It's like, this is a very straightforward, this is older than Adam, man. This is a very simple, very easy message to swallow. And I think that, Jesse, you said it well. If you see a political message there, that says a lot more about you than it does about the message itself. I thought it was a great ad. Jesse and I were looking for slices yesterday, and that
popped
up.
Pierce Morgan's the one who kind of started making it a political thing, and everyone jumped on, right? Actual job is to fill hours with normal things that he makes political. Wasn't he first? I mean, I feel like he's the first person I saw make a thing
that
of it.
He may have been one of the first prominent, but immediately, anytime someone suggests that, you know, there might be, pervasive social problems that need to be addressed, and those problems might fall on gender lines, people, they're even non-prominent people, for some reason, you know, the irony is those are the people who are always like, oh, this is, you know, you snowflakes get triggered by everything. It's like, who's the snowflake getting triggered by a razor commercial? I'm sure you got an opportunity to see the ad. I want to know what your opinion on the commercial was.
I thought it was beautiful. I watched it this morning. Yeah. I mean, I'm totally for what it is saying and the way it is. The political stuff here, that, you know me, I'm not going to be the first one who's going to care about all that. But I do care about a commercial that teaches men that it can be manly to be tender, and it can be manly to talk from the heart and act from the heart. And that's what that commercial did. As a female watching it, that was my biggest takeaway, was like, oh, they are saying like it's super masculine to protect other people, not to torture other people. And I liked it for that reason.
Okay, Annie, we try to stay a little apolitical on this podcast. Like, we got a lot of it. I would appreciate if you would kind of tap the brakes on your agenda here. Save it for your podcast, Annie.
All the listeners, I'm sorry about all that. I'm just tired a little bit.
Well, that is why you're tired, Cameron, is because you should not be fighting with a stranger 100%. On the internet at 1 a.m.
100%. And I mean, Jesse's down. We had a big weekend. That's the other reason why I'm tired. This weekend, there were back-to-back Orlando Magic games. Mm-hmm. They'd been on the road for like 2 weeks. You know, they did terrible on this road trip. Yeah. And then Saturday, we played the Boston Celtics. Sunday, we played the Houston Rockets. Won both of those games.
Yeah, that's great.
Thanks to Jesse. He's the good luck charm.
Last time I was here, we beat the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, you are coming down every time.
I know. I mean, it's the energy they can feel.
Hey, people think, you know, there's no, I don't believe in luck, but I am incredibly superstitious when it comes to basketball. I moved my seat over. I used to sit on the right seat. Now I sit on the left seat. They're doing better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't wear a certain jacket that I wore during some bad losses.
Yeah.
Now you keep showing up. We win games we shouldn't win. You know what I'm saying?
And we win the night we were all there? No.
Oh, no, that was a egregious loss. Horrible, horrible loss.
But the difference was I was so far away from the court.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Comparatively.
Yeah, we were so far away from the court.
We had excellent seats. We had excellent seats.
You were on the ninth row.
Yeah, but I'm saying
they
comparatively.
Can't hear you back there.
The energy.
Yeah,
the
totally different.
The toxic masculine mojo I project onto the court.
Sure. Your Gillette razorness, if you will.
Jesse, is there like an angels in the infield situation here where you, when you show up, Christopher Lloyd and his army of skilled sports angels also can like start doing invisible basketball tricks.
Yeah, exactly.
But if listeners remember a year ago, we did the Relevant Sports podcast and Jesse, you were on it and your co-host was Steve Carter.
Yeah.
At the time,
I love Steve Carter,
a pastor at Willow Creek at the time. And Steve was down on Sunday and went with us to the game. So I felt like I was living the Relevant Sports podcast with these guys sitting on
the
insightful
commentary.
Annie, we got into trouble though. I mean, it was such a big game.
I am dying to hear this story. For the listener, Theater of the Mind is, my friends won't tell me stories in real life because they will only tell me on the Relevant podcast.
Well,
go.
So, you know, I don't like James Harden. He doesn't like me. You know, I mean, that's just the bottom line. That's okay.
I'm sorry. He plays for the other team?
Yeah, the Houston Rockets. He has a big beard.
Yeah.
And he's been on a streak.
Oh, yeah.
He's on an unprecedented NBA record streak right now of averaging more than 40 points a game over the last almost 20 games.
Tell him how much he scored against the Magic.
38. Okay. But he's still averaging over 40, but here's the deal. He was 1 of 17 from three and I rode him. Okay. First of all, two, Austin Rivers is on.
Like what kind of stuff were you yelling though, Cameron?
It's not safe for the players. I don't cross.
I'd be more comfortable get into what we were saying to the players specifically, because I'll just say this. If I can just say they're very un-Gillette. They were the type of things. They were the
you
type
were the
of things we, that the bad men were yelling in the Gillette commercial.
So then there's a player, Austin Rivers, who used to play for the LA Clippers. I was writing him. He turned around and gave it back to me. And then all of a sudden, I say to Jesse, "See, the mark reveals itself. Yeah, you don't come in premeditated." And so the rest of the game, it's on Austin Rivers. And Steve Carter went at halftime and went and bought like Magic warm-up gear and old school shorts, gym shorts, and he comes out like.
Can you talk me through that a little bit? He walked away from you in normal clothes.
Yeah.
And he came back fully
totally
head
out.
To foot.
Basically,
he went and changed.
Where were his clothes?
In the bag that he bought.
Oh
you know.
Yeah. My gosh, Steve Carter!
And so
what
he's
a hero.
Hilarious. So it was crazy, and like in the fourth quarter, this is only the second time this has happened to me. Fourth quarter, security guard comes over to me and Steve. Guys, you got to keep it down. You got to calm down a little bit.
Game.
You got to calm down a little bit. And I'm like, like, Jose. And I'm like, Jose, what? I'm like, I know him. And he like pointed to his earpiece. He's like, just chill a little bit.
Did you say, liberal father?
Someone called you. So does that, do you think the other team did?
No, I don't know. I don't know. We calmed down. We did. I was like, it's almost like, it's like when your favorite teacher that you're super cool with, you know, like whatever, kind of goes, like you get in trouble
by the
teacher.
I thought we had a thing.
No.
I tell you who it was that said something. Come some clean shaven liberal from Hollyweird that happened to be in that night.
We missed you, Annie. Steve Carter was a blast and it was fun. We missed you.
I just think the world of him and I love y'all were having so much fun on Insta story that it was
so much fun.
All I could do not to drive myself to Orlando.
Too much fun. I'm still tired.
Yeah.
Because of that midnight fighting.
Just not gonna cut it, buddy.
That is a busy weekend. I'm glad you made it into the office. I probably would have taken a sick day after all that.
I went strolling around town, throwing Gillette razors in the garbage and just going around town bullying for a while. Just finding people to pick on just to kind of recoup my masculine energy. And wow, what a day. What a day.
All right, we'll move the show along. It is time for our weekly look back at what happened in culture and entertainment. It's time for
In Case You Missed It.
Hey, in case you missed it, this week, Doctor Strange director, Scott Derrickson, went online and pleaded with his fellow Christians to live more according to Jesus' teachings. The filmmaker has also directed like Sinister, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and others. He went to Twitter to explain his problems with modern Christianity this week. He said, "American Christians have long loved their pop culture heroes. I have frustrated attempts to make me one. because of this singular heartfelt conviction. In America, we Christians are not the solution. We are the core problem. When asked to elaborate by our very own Tyler Huckabee via Twitter, Scott explained the ways that Christians could change the conversation for the better. He said, one, reject Christian nationalism. It's a straight up heresy. Two, read the Gospels. Jesus was about aiding the poor, the judged, the sick, and the socially oppressed. Three, reckon with fear and racism. They are deceptively deep roots in the American faith. Along with challenging ideas about nationalism and faith on Twitter, Scott is currently at work on the Doctor Strange sequel, by the way.
Those words sound like a man that shaves his chest with a Gillette razor every week.
He has a little mustache, so I don't know where he's getting these ideas from, but I don't trust him. I don't get it.
Huck, how often do you respond to someone like that and they respond back to you?
Very rarely. I've interacted with Scott Derrickson a few times. I think he follows me. So I think we have a rapport. But he's responded to me enough times. I think he's aware of like the magazine. He's been in the magazine before.
He's been in the magazine a couple times.
I just think it was great that he took time to like give you a legitimate, like thoughtful answer. Versus like not responding or blowing you off. I just think that's kind of cool.
I think it led to something that we've joked about this Gillette ad, but I do appreciate something that in addition to pointing out something that's wrong, and I think there's plenty wrong with masculinity and with the American expression of Christianity, that you also need to point to, well, what's then the prognosis? Like, what does it look like to be better than where we're at? And I think deconstruction is important and reconstruction is also important. And pushing beyond just that deconstruction to reconstruction is a good exercise for us all to do. So I'm glad that he was willing to do that.
Because to me as well, and y'all see this in your friends too, I have friends who talk about deconstructing their faith. And I'm all fine with that if you will do the work of reconstruction. If you're just deconstructing to say that or to like walk away, don't waste my ear time. But if you're talking about your deconstruction with the goal of reconstructing, I got so much respect for that.
People get stuck in deconstruction because it's fun. It feels good to kind of tear down institutions once you realize the problems with them, and it can lead to a feeling of superiority. I think that becomes very intoxicating.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very hard then to try to build something newer and better out of it because it's scary and you don't necessarily know what to hold on to and what needs to be rebuilt. And it takes a lot of study, takes a lot of trust in the Holy Spirit, takes a lot of trust. It takes finding new and better mentors than the ones you were raised with, maybe. But on the other side of it is a much happier, more fulfilled intellectual and spiritual life. So I hope that we can all be responsible. And I hope that, and I think that something that Relevance tried to be good at, and Cameron, you push us to do it a lot, is don't just find the things that are wrong. Like find good signs out there, find the things that are positive, things pushing the conversation forward in a good direction.
I'm a glass half full person, and it's easy to, there's two ways to enact change. You can either just sit there and point out everything that's wrong, or you can almost like turn your back to it and like cast a better vision for how things could be and inspire people to want that instead. And like they will then, when I see what's possible and then I look at how things are, I'm not content with how things are. Yeah. I want to aspire to that better reality. And, or you can just sit there and just criticize. Yeah. You know, and like that's pointless. Where are we going? Yeah. You know, like Annie's point.
I just don't get why Scott Derrickson, this world famous Hollywood director, engaged with Tyler in thoughtful dialogue, and he said nothing to all my comments about his cowardly relationship. Dr. Strange.
I just love watching your brain spin.
Did you point out to him how much of a disappointment he is to his father?
In various ways.
It works. In
explicit ways, yeah.
It'll rile somebody up at 1 o'clock in the morning. It'll do the work.
Yeah. Here's the secret,
Hey, guess
Jesse.
What, Scott? Your dad, just like the rest of the MCU's fan, felt like Doctor Strange was about 25 minutes too long. Learn to wrap it up, Scott. You coward.
Oh, my gosh. In case you missed it, I mean, there's been a lot of controversy about the comedy The Upside with... Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston, because Bryan Cranston was cast as a quadriplegic man in a wheelchair. Yeah. And a lot of people have an issue with that. Well, critics of the casting argued that the role should have been played by an actor with disabilities. Well, this week, Trevor Noah weighed in on it and had some really good insights about this controversy. Bryan Cranston hasn't apologized for playing the role. He told the Associated Press, "We live in the world of criticism. If we're willing to get up and try something, we have to also be willing to take criticism. We're very aware of the need to expand the opportunities for people with disabilities." So he's acknowledging the criticism. Well, the Daily Show host, Trevor Noah, offered some thoughtful commentary about the topic, saying that he changed his mind about the issue after hearing the thoughts of an actor who is currently in a wheelchair. Here's a clip.
I understand what an actor is. I, too, am an actor. He said, but I'm an actor in a wheelchair. And I never see parts that are leading roles for a person in a wheelchair. And so the one time I see a role where there's a person in a wheelchair, I think, wow, this could be it. This could be the moment where I have all of the tools necessary to play this part. Do I get a shot at playing it? And he was like, because when you think of it on the flip side, they never call people with wheelchairs in to play able-bodied people, and they'll get able-bodied people to play people in wheelchairs. And I was like, snap, I never thought of it like that.
The one thing I appreciate about Trevor Noah, especially, and he's released a series of these are kind of taken between segments, you know? It's him just kind of talking frankly with the audience.
Or something?
Yeah. These aren't a scripted part of the show, but they regularly release them. That his willingness to admit that his
David Letterman used to do this.
Yeah,
he would go, "Who's from Iowa?"
Yeah.
And he would just kind of banter. But at least Trevor Noah has given some thoughtful insight.
And more times than not with these, it's him saying, "You know what? The opinion I had about this was wrong. Someone changed my mind in a thoughtful, constructive way. I was wrong. My opinion changed, and here's the thoughtful piece of commentary that actually changed my mind."
Hey, in case you missed it this week, Chris Pratt had some news. I mean, you know,
I love this. I love it so much.
Talking about, no, it's not the thing. Yeah, he's engaged. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's not it, Jesse. No.
Hey, this is the Relevant Beat. We go deeper than that.
Yeah, exactly.
We went to his Instagram story, not the big Instagram post about the engagement. No, we're watching his stories.
That's right.
We're finger on the pulse.
Okay, we hired someone only to follow Chris Pratt's stories. And Chris Pratt.
It's 43% of our web traffic.
For free, Jesse. Y'all should have just called me.
This week on Instagram, he told followers that he was on day 3 of the Daniel fast. And he said, check it out. It's a 21 days of prayer and fasting. So it got everybody asking, what in the world does the Daniel fast? And this was now 43% of our web traffic this week.
It was big.
That's awesome.
So the rules for the fast come directly from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. And in case you didn't know, after being selected to serve in Nebuchadnezzar's palace, Daniel refused to defile himself with the king's food and wine. Instead, he said, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." The Bible says at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So then later, during a time of grieving, Daniel undertakes the diet for 21 straight days, hence the diet's length. Chris Pratt also got engaged to Katherine Schwarzenegger this week.
So that's the part I'm here for. I'll talk about the Daniel fast, but the ring is beautiful. They look so happy. I think it's so cute.
His caption under when he announced the engagement, he said that he's proud to live boldly in faith with you. Mm. Boldly in faith.
Yeah. You gotta love Pratt. He's a constant source of.
Although, I don't know. Scott Derrickson was talking about how Christians loved their celebrity thing, and that's a problem.
Well, no, he said it's a problem for him.
Oh,
he didn't say. He said they love their pop culture heroes, and I frustratingly don't take that mantle. Where I feel like
he said that he has frustrated attempts to be tagged that.
Yeah.
There are Christians who are going, "Hey, we got a Christian filmmaker."
Yeah.
And he's
he's too uncomfortable with it. Yeah,
it's fine with being profiled in Relevant Magazine.
Yeah,
frustrated too. Don't know how that he's.
He did do a really. Overtime. He did do a really great, and he opened up a lot about faith in that.
Yeah, he was very open.
How about this? We're going to reshare that on the site this week for people listening.
Oh, good idea, buddy.
The next item on, in case you missed it, is about that horrible clip of the pastor remixing God's Plan, and I'm not going to acknowledge it because it's so embarrassing.
We're not even going to play a clip.
No, not even doing it.
We're not even going to play a clip.
We're not doing it. White people are too embarrassing. Like, no.
That's why we have to. This is a warning shot.
Yeah, this is calling out. This is justice.
It is too.
This is justice. Deconstruction is an important part of the process.
We have to acknowledge what is wrong.
Turn our backs to what's wrong and let's point to what's good. Like, this is not worth shining the spotlight on.
We gotta destroy the old wineskins before we can fill them with new. It's important. This is there's a system. There's a system here.
Fine. I agree.
If we don't play it, it is posted on relevantmagazine.com. Jesse, you dug this up and you said it to me.
This is the difference in our humor. You love the Scott's Tots episode of The Office. You love the awkward, uncomfortable. I fast forward or mute it.
No,
I cannot handle it.
It does not get any more out of. As someone who part of their job is to watch church bloopers regularly. But we played one the other day. That was more slapstick of a pastor attempting to jump over a very large hurdle off a mini trampoline.
They were self-aware too. Like, they knew that what they were doing. When they did it wrong, they played it off really well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? They recovered.
But as someone who is professionally aware of church blooper videos, this is the Scott's Tots of church bloopers. Okay.
Yes, Jesse, yes.
Fine. So if you didn't see the clip, it's on our website. This guy, we don't know why he's doing it. He's some sort of like performer / comedian at a big Baptist mega church.
Comedian.
I don't know. He has a hat on backwards and he's trying to do a rap and he's trying to show that.
I think he's a pastor. Yeah, I thought he was a pastor.
He appeared very pastoral.
And he's trying to show that he's down with the young people or something. Yeah. And this is what happened.
That is why I say, Drake, I want you to know, Jesus Christ saved my soul. He baptized me with the Holy Ghost. That is why I say.
It's so bad.
See, at this point,
he grabs his knee and does this weird, like, thing.
Here we go.
This is the best part.
God's plan.
I don't think you've ever heard this song before.
You gotta have God's plan.
Oh.
Jesus wants you to have God's plan.
There's also someone doing sign language.
Thankfully, the sign language interpreter was there for this too, so that no one could be spared.
You know,
even if you don't have the ability to hear, it would hurt you.
The thing that was so painful is that, you know, he was like, when he was rehearsing it, he was like doing like, oh, I'm just going to spontaneously do this. The drummer's going to, and everybody will go crazy. And then they'll think it's over. And then the real song will drop and they'll go bananas, right? Yeah. You know, that's what he was thinking. But it was just this weird, awkward lag and like, God's plan. Jesus wants you to have God's plan. What does that even mean?
It's called freestyle. He's just going with it. He's just feeling the
freestyle, Cameron.
Just feeling the rhythm. Just let the flow take it.
I feel like
you.
That was probably the opening to his message.
That is literally the Scott's Tots of Baptist church services right there.
Yeah. It's like the clip we played years ago of the pastor yelling at the kid in the sound booth. Like, you just want to crawl under the pew and not be there.
Jerry, can you find that clip?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
I don't think I know this one.
It's like a fundamentalist, like Louisiana, like old school pastor who's just kind of like walking up and down the aisles of the church, like the pews.
What is it called?
I'm going to find it while you talk. I think.
And he just starts like calling people out. Like, this young couple got engaged, hadn't been to church enough lately.
I got it. Chandler,
and like,
it's coming
brother
your way.
Bob and your idiot, and, you know, like your issues.
That's how my youth pastor growing up was.
Yeah. And then he started talking about the young people in the sound booth.
I would rather have a pastor do a painful, at least an attempt at comedy with God's plan. Then it's someone who's like,
no, this guy's just got anger issues,
or is super insecure and just takes it out on other people.
I'll say this: the God's plan pastor is likely a Gillette man. You know, he's good natured. He tries to make people laugh with victimless comedy. This is the old school guy who encourages children to beat up other children to the amusement of the fathers at the barbecue.
That part was really interesting. All the dads. I thought that was very artistic. All the dads at the barbecue.
I'm assuming they're grilling vegan entrees.
Are y'all keeping the camera on me back there in the little video room? Good. We're having trouble in the video room. There's no one finer than young Cox back there. And he comes down here and spends hours in that thing. But he has a little attitude adjustment that we're going to fix. Brother Cox, you listening? Because Brother Cox, I can fix your attitude adjustment. And I don't care what your mama thinks and your daddy thinks. And I don't have a better friend than your mama. But mama, you get out of my way when I'm messing with that boy, because I'm his preacher. I'm yours when I'm talking to you, but I'm his when I'm talking to him. And last I checked, he's a grown man. And that video room ain't going to be a youth
thing. Pause it and turn up. Pause it and turn up. We don't want to miss this.
And I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Well, if you don't know what you're doing wrong, son, you don't care about what I want to do right. Because if you loved me and you submitted to me, you'd know what my heart is and my message is, and you wouldn't go about establishing your own kingdom in the video room.
There you go. Church.
Like, what makes you yell at the sound booth guy like that?
Because he's making the sound booth a youth hangout.
It's not
Annie.
A youth hangout, Annie. You don't love the pastor if you're making it a youth hangout and your own kingdom.
We just got a bumper pool room, a bumper pool table in the youth hall. And this is how you repay me, by building the kingdom of Devon. Sound booth.
Oh man.
Where the youth hang.
You know what I would do?
That bumper pool table is going away.
I would just mute him. You start calling me out.
That's what I wondered. I wondered if he, yeah, because he's really got all the power. You don't mess with Devin.
Yeah.
Leave the sound guy alone.
When I get to a church, that's the first person I remember his name, because that guy has all the power.
That's why we're also nice to Chandler here.
Well, lastly, in case you missed it this week, Kanye West said he is working on some sort of church special.
Yeah.
So his wife, Kim Kardashian West, posted an Instagram story of something she called Sunday Service, which featured her husband rehearsing with what sure sounds like a gospel choir and frequent collaborator Kid Cudi. So together they covered some of Kanye's newer songs like Ghost Town from his latest album, a few Stone Cold classics like Heard Him Say and even I'll Fly Away. Father Stretch My Hands and Reborn also appear in the clip. Kim pretty strongly implied that this won't be the last Sunday service, but it's unclear what the project is or how it'll be released. But here's a clip.
We got Kid Cudi making his own kingdom in the video booth.
It's not a youth hangout, Jesse. Yeah.
I know Kanye is kind of a complicated person. I mean, more complicated even than he usually is right now. But of all the things he released last year, I thought that Kid Cudi project was the best one, that Kids See Ghost things. And so from now on, as long as Kanye's working with Cudi, then I'm on board. And if it comes with I'll Fly Away.
I can get down with Chance, the stuff he does with Chance too.
And I guess that's, supposedly there's one coming or about to release or something.
God's plan.
God's plan.
Talking about God's plan.
Jesus wants you to follow God's plan.
You can hear a point in the clip where he just kind of gets away from him, and I think he knows it, but he's too deep into it.
That's when he grabs his knee and starts wiggling it.
He's like, I'm losing him. I got to floss. I got to do something that resembles a dance.
It's the old pastor trick of whenever you start to lose the audience, double down. That's on them for not paying enough attention
to
you.
Let's say he had like a very earnest, like thoughtful sermon about, you know, recognizing God's plan for your life. He's like, you know, I just don't think this is really going to make the impact in the lives of my congregation without one other thing. I've got it. This surely will help those wayward congregants struggling to find their calling in their life. You know, this will do it, God. Thank you.
If I growl, God's plan.
Yeah. God. Drake, what you gonna say? Jesus Christ is here today.
Wild and out.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, that'll do it for In Case You Missed It. Stay tuned. Up next, Francis Chan joins us. Downtown life's bad. Halfway up the street, I used to be free. I used to be 17. You're listening to Sharon Van Etten. The song is 17. At the beginning of the podcast, you heard Simmel, S-Y-M-L, with Clean Eyes. Well, this week's episode is brought to you by Church Home. You know, on our phones, we can be connected to anyone, anywhere. But how do you actually find meaningful, positive connections and tune out all the negative noise? For me, it's with the new Church Home Global app. What we love about Church Home is that it's not about excluding people. It's about being together where everyone's welcome. The Church Home Global app allows you to connect with people all around the world, have honest discussions, and create meaningful relationships all from your phone. They have a great feature even every day called the Daily Spark, which is just a quick way to start your morning positively with inspiration from Judah and Chelsea Smith, Church Home's pastors. Join me today on the Church Home Global app. Download the free Church Home Global app available on the App Store or Google Play, or you can text Relevant to 555-888. That's Church Home, one word, C-H-U-R-C-H-O-M-E, Global, available on the App Store or Google Play, or by texting Relevant to 555-888. Well, Francis Chan is a former megachurch pastor, speaker, author, and is one of the faces of the new video teaching series from Right Now Media. In the series, Francis traveled to the Holy Land to walk in the steps of Jesus while teaching some of the deeper lessons of the Book of Mark. We recently spoke with Francis about his journey to Israel and why taking a deeper look at the gospel is so essential. Here is Francis Chan.
You know, I've been a Christian pretty much my whole life and, you know, have spent a lot of time reading the Bible, but I don't really know a lot of the distinctions between the Gospels themselves. Tell me why the Book of Mark stands out from the other Gospels to you and why it was something you wanted to teach through.
Well, I think because, okay, like when I was back at Cornerstone, I had taught through Matthew and Luke and John, and I never preached through Mark. So honestly, that was intriguing to me. I mean, some of it, you know, it wasn't a real spiritual thing. It was just for the sake of time, it was a shorter gospel that we could make it through. But, you know, there's something cool about taught through verse by verse through books of the Bible. There's something also that's beneficial when you can fly through something because at the flow of the book a little bit more easily. And that's what I liked about the series was, okay, we only have a few hours. Let's fly through this book and you get something that I think you don't necessarily get when you go word for word over several years.
Having not, you know, you mentioned when you're at Cornerstone, preaching through some of the other Gospels, what surprised you when you were doing this deep dive into the Book of Mark?
Being in Israel changed everything because you could touch it. You can you can imagine, you see people walking around and you're looking at their life and going, gosh, he was literally standing here. Like, what would I have felt? Like being on the Mount of Olives and, you know, maybe standing there with Lazarus, who's been raised from the dead, and you're heading in, and here's Jesus who has, you've seen him walk on water, you know, and so chronologically, we've gone through this, and I'm experiencing it on the boat, I'm experiencing the Mount of Transfiguration, now I'm on the Mount of Olives, and everyone's going nuts, because here's the most powerful being who's ever stepped foot on this earth right here, and you're about to walk into the city and take over, or so you think, and then suddenly you realize, oh my gosh, he's going to be tortured. And if I follow him, I'm going to be tortured. And you start to think, what would Francis Chan have done at that moment? Would I have followed him to the cross, or would I have backed off? And like, this is real Christianity. This is as real as it gets. And you just realize, wow, what kind of message have we been preaching, you know, here in America? Has it been the true gospel? And is my mind warped just because of the world that I live in? And how can I escape from it? So I don't think it was a difference in teaching Luke or teaching Mark. It was more just the context of being in Israel and teaching one of the gospels.
It's interesting, you know, kind of that juxtaposition of teaching it there versus, you know, from a pulpit here. You know, a lot of American Christians, their interactions with these books are in like an air conditioned, you know, well furnished church building in a country where they are the majority. But, you know, what's striking is watching some of these videos is how little has seemed to change. And just, I wonder if you could talk about putting yourself into that context of not just, you know, the time frame and the setting that Jesus was, but also the context of, you know, Israel, the Israelites and the people that were following the Jews that were following Jesus, you know, they were under persecution. They were a minority.
Yeah.
How did that context help kind of shape the teaching?
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's been to Israel knows, like, it's just like a very volatile situation. You know, you've got people with machine guns everywhere. You've got, right there, like, war going on incessantly. And so it's right in your face, and you realize, gosh, I live in such a safe place. I just don't, the Bible doesn't come alive. Like you said, when you're sitting in an air-conditioned building, like it does when you realize, wow, the same conflicts are still going on in this very city right here. I can see it. I can feel the tension. And it's really not that different. You have very religious people there that are all dressed up, you know, in their religious garb. And you can just picture Jesus, like what he would do in that type of setting. But it's kind of like, you read all this stuff in the Old Testament about all these idols. But in America, you know, unless you're going into a Thai restaurant or something, you don't see idols. But you go to India, and you're like, whoa, again, the Bible comes alive, because it's like everyone worships an idol. And you realize, okay, now some of those passages are coming alive. And I feel like the same thing happened for me in Israel, where there was just something about seeing the conflict right in your face that makes you go, okay, now I see what Jesus was dealing with. Now I see what the early believers were dealing with to a lesser degree, but at least some part of it.
I want to ask you something about, you know, kind of the content of the teaching too, because one of the themes that kind of run throughout is the idea of holiness. Obviously, you're in these places that have this reverence and holiness, but it's also sort of a theme of the teachings. And so that's kind of a difficult idea for like modern Christians to comprehend, because Jesus seemed a lot of places in the Bible so normal, so human. Why is it important for us to have a proper understanding of Jesus's holiness?
In so many ways, like, that's the crux of Scripture. We have a God who is like no other. Like, we have to stop, putting things even close to where he is. That's the whole idea of holy, holy, holy. He is set apart. He is sacred. And we live in a very man-centered world where we just feel like our opinions should matter, our feelings should matter. And it's like, no, God alone matters. Like, he's on another level than all your feelings, all your preferences, all your desires, all your opinions. Like, he's got to be way up there. That he is not like us. Our creator is so far beyond us. Yes, we're made in his image, but the whole point of life is, man, I am inferior to him, and I should gladly come under his leadership. The whole original sin is man trying to be, you know, I want to eat of the tree of good and evil. I want to, in my opinion, you know, I want to know what's right or wrong. I don't want God to just tell me what's right and wrong. This is all about understanding that our God is to be far, far above us. And so that theme is not just the book of Mark. It's Scripture. It's the whole of Scripture.
That was Francis Chan. Make sure to check out his new video series on the Gospel of Mark. It's at rightnowmedia.org. I've been in game of a long time. 16 hours, that's a long flight. You're robbing me rough on the wrong guy. She did hit me at the wrong time. Yeah, hold up. 16 hours, that's a long flight. You're robbing me rough on the wrong guy. She did hit me at the wrong time. At LifeSong for Orphans, we believe the church is the solution to caring for orphans. Through holistic, Christ-centered education and care to vulnerable children in developing countries, as well as adoption financial assistance to Christian families in the U.S., LifeSong invites you to join in living out God's call to care for orphans. LifeSong serves adopted families and churches at zero cost, and 100% of the donations go directly to helping children in need. You are called to serve orphans. We can help. Find out how at lifesong.org/relevant.
You're listening to Higher Brothers. Song is 16 hours.
Okay, it's time for your feedback. Last week, we got talking about celebrity encounters because Annie was on a plane with Shaq.
I was.
And just talking about how, I mean, it changed her life, frankly.
It did. I will never forget it.
And so we want to know your best, worst, most unforgettable celebrity encounter. You guys hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast, and you posted on the podcast episode page at relevantmagazine.com. Here's a few of our favorites.
I like this one. It's ironically, Cameron and I were literally having a conversation about Matthew McConaughey's tendency to just randomly show up to practices at the University of Texas.
Yeah, the football program. Yeah, I was watching ESPN last night while I was debating idiots on the internet, and I don't watch ESPN all that long, that much. And it was like, Matthew McConaughey is coming on later. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then they were showing all these pictures of him like giving halftime speeches to the University of Texas football team and hanging out and like coaching guys up on the sideline and junk. And I'm like, he's just a random fan. Like he's not a football savant. He's not an expert. I'm like, and I'm thinking, this coach is fairly new. I mean, this coach has only been there like a year.
Yeah.
It's like he inherited Matthew McConaughey. Like
I think he's sneaking in.
McConaughey is like comes with the program.
Yeah.
And like you just have to put up with it if you're the coach.
Because I've seen the same
video.
He's
part of the recruiting package. I mean, it's part of the deal. If you go to Texas, you're going to get to meet Matthew McConaughey every weekend.
So, but either way, we have feedback here from Patrick Marsh, who's not only is a UT alumni, he's a
alumnus.
He was on the college baseball team there at the University of Texas. Guess who randomly came to practice one day?
Well, Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
To the baseball team.
He hung out. He shows up to baseball practice and he hung out and just watched for a while. Then he decided that he would join the team for wind sprints at the end of practice. So Matthew McConaughey is sitting there in bleachers watching baseball practice. When it's time for the wind sprints, the conditioning at the end, he runs down to the field and decides to join the team. However, he only ran a few and then called it good. He also confirmed Matthew McConaughey does not wear deodorant. So
my thing is like, why do you think the school tells all the ushers and coaches and personnel that work in the athletic department, just let him do what he's going to do?
Do you think that's what the Orlando Magic people say about you, Cameron?
I thought that until Jose, the security guard, came over and told me to chill.
We thought we had an agreement. Orders
from on high.
Yeah.
Apparently.
We thought we had an agreement.
I like this one a lot from Cal Busman.
you said that with such disdain. Cal Busman.
Right.
Like,
it's a fun name. I like it. He's a bus man. Cal Busman.
The bus man.
Out of college, was working at First Baptist Church in Tallahassee. Says that when he was in his church's family life center, this is what I like about the celebrity story, is you need to be in the least likely place to see a celebrity. You need to be like in a mundane, non-celebrity environment, like the First Baptist Church in Tallahassee, and your churches. I don't know what a family life center is, I guess. In my mind, I'm seeing kind of like a...
I had one in my church growing up. It's a fellowship hall with... Ours had a stage for when the choir did performances or the... basketball.
And basketball. Yeah, carpeted, that makes sense.
Basketball. Yeah. Challenging.
Oh. Okay, sure. I don't know much about basketball. It seems like that'd kind of throw a wrench in proceedings, but sure. So Cal's just living his life, working at his job in the Family Life Center, and in walks Prince and his entourage.
What?
So right there, you go to we go to the Chappelle skit.
Oh,
where
yeah,
Prince and everybody walks
in. Literally one of the best moments of television in the last 15 years.
Charlie Murphy's recounting his stories of hanging out with.
It's almost Prince, as famous as like Prince himself is that bit of Prince and what it's like. So Prince and his entourage walk in.
Wait, they're in Tallahassee at his church's fellowship hall. And Prince walks
Prince
in.
Was like pretty famously like got super Christian in his later, like was like had, was a, had a real strong spiritual bent to him. He was he was playing Tallahassee, had some time to kill before the show. And so he went not where you or I would go if we had some time to kill before we had an event out of town.
Yeah.
He went to the First Baptist Church in Tallahassee and the church and there were amenities there. And he came looking to shoot some pool. Another famous Prince fact is that he really liked like games, like he loved basketball, obviously. He loved playing, he loved ping pong. He was a big fan of ping pong.
Why would you go to a Baptist church looking to shoot pool? Just go to a pool hall.
Why not?
Google a pool hall.
Yeah, because
I don't know.
People like Devin build their own kingdoms in the fellowship hall. He knew he had some games. It's a youth hangout.
That was like the least likely place he'd be found.
I guess that's true. If you didn't want to hang out with like get mobbed by celebrities or, you know, as a celebrity, then you just go to, then you go knock on the door of a church.
If I recall correctly, I'm piecing it together. He was a Jehovah's Witness at the end. Yeah. So
I think Jehovah's Witness is correct.
That's right. So why not go to Jehovah's Witness?
Maybe they don't have the good
pool. They don't have a
pool over there. So anyway, Cal says I got to show him around and then shoot pool with Prince for a while. I got to shoot pool with him. Can't tell you who won, which probably meant that he did because I think I would remember if I'd beaten Prince.
For sure.
Then we just chatted about football. He wore purple because he was a Vikings fan. He was the purple one. And so is my dad because he was born in Minnesota. We talked about Vikings. That was the extent of it. Sounds like he just like had a day at the job with Prince.
I like to think that Cal's not really into sports, so they talked about literal Vikings.
Are you into Viking lore?
Minnesota.
They see Vikings up there sometimes. I get that.
Is everyone up here Norwegian? I have a great one from Brianna. You can never know with this name, but she and her sisters were in New York City and they were just walking down the street and there was a big metal door with a bunch of people gathered outside of it, which this is a hot tip. Everyone should stop when that happens in New York because it does mean something famous is going down. And so the door opened and the security guard and a tall guy walked out and the group surrounded the guy and started taking his picture and they realized it was Hugh Jackman. And so she's trying to get her phone out of the car and her sister like looks at her and is like, shut up like that. And as Hugh Jackman is getting in the car, he turns around and said, no, you shut up, which I think is awesome that he heard her. So I love that.
It's nice that he was self-aware.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he kind of made fun of the sister, which I kind of like that about Hugh Jackman.
He seems like a nice guy.
He seems very charming. He always seems like a very winsome. Yeah. He has a very winsome personality.
And he's a good Christian man. You know, he's a strong Christian out there.
Is he?
Australia. Yeah. He does a lot of work with World Vision Australia.
His father was a tent revivalist.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's been married since before he was famous, before he was an actor. He's been married to the same person the whole entire time.
He's a good man.
Love that. Good on him.
And he talks to people. Look at that. Yeah. I once saw in New York, talking about getting into a car. In New York, you see celebrities getting into cars because they shuffle out of the building really quick.
Yeah.
And you'll see I once saw Regis Philbin getting into a car.
Did you? That's kind of cool. Anything?
I just said, the Reg. And what he said, nothing. He didn't acknowledge.
He didn't acknowledge. He said the Reg.
You blurt. You just blurt. You don't know. You don't premeditate. Well, it's like, what are you going to do? You come around the corner and there's Regis Philbin. You go,
Cameron, I remember being at a movie with you in New York City and we sat one row in front of, I think it was Rudy Giuliani and Jodie Foster.
Yeah. Side by side. Jodie Foster and Rudy Giuliani.
They were sitting together at the same movie.
It's the weirdest thing.
That is weird.
That was a very weird, random pairing. Yeah.
They were just seeing a movie?
Well, no, we were at a screen. Like
a
invite only
screen.
Oh, I thought y'all just like went to the movies.
But it was like, why are they together?
Yeah, exactly.
And how do they know each other? Because they were clearly like, they're not like on a date, but like they were there together.
Pals.
Yeah. Maybe.
Like, they're just hanging out. Jodie Foster and Rudy Giuliani.
Lizzie Rice had a good one of one time she, this is to your story of, you know, just finding the right thing to shout.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Lizzie is in Spain one night eating gelato. And guess who walks towards her?
Hmm.
The one and only Ty Pennington.
Oh, yes. I love Ty Pennington.
Move that bus.
Wait for it.
Okay.
I was so starstruck as he passed that the only thing I could yell was move that bus.
Yeah, of course.
He waved and walked on. What else are you gonna yell though?
Bus?
He hears that every day of his life.
He didn't acknowledge. He didn't give her anything.
No, he waved and just kept going.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that'll do it for you. That y'all's feedback. There's a lot. Go check it out. And it's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
I mean, sometimes we have to go off mic for a few minutes and try and come up with a compelling conversation starting question of the week. And sometimes manna falls from heaven.
Sometimes it's given to us. That's exactly
that's
right.
It's right there.
Earlier on the show, we brought you some pretty cringy pastor moments and got us thinking, we want to know your most cringy pastor moments. Maybe it was revival. Maybe it was a guest speaker. Maybe you saw your pastor try to jump a hurdle because of the power of God and then fall flat on his back. Or
brutal.
Hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast, or you can post your longer stories, which I'm sure there are many, on the podcast episode page at relevantmagazine.com. Let us know your most memorable, cringy pastor moments.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, if you were hanging out in the sound booth and the pastor started calling you out by name in the middle of the sermon.
That's who we need to get as listener of the week. Get that guy.
Get Devin.
Devin or the pastor?
No. That
for
pastor
sure
scares
Devin.
Me, man.
Yeah, yeah, I would be terrified. And he'd probably make me cry. And he sounds not like a Gillette man. He sounds
say,
like
that's
a big,
not a Gillette
mean
man.
Bully. He's a big mean bully. he's pure toxic masculinity. Yeah.
Oh man. Well, many thanks to Francis Chan for joining us today. Remember, you can go check out his new series on the Gospel of Mark, Bible teachings from the Holy Land. It's available now at rightnowmedia.org/mark. Go check him out. I like him a lot. He's a great teacher.
Yeah.
And thanks to Church Home for making the episode possible. You can join us today on the Church Home Global app by downloading the free app at the App Store or Google Play, or by texting Relevant to 555-888. If you're searching for it, it's Church Home, one word, CHURCHOME. Well, this is where I give a little updates, a little behind the scenes stuff, so people know. We were playing with video during this whole recording.
Yeah, this is a big successful test.
Big
test.
You guys look great. You guys look really good.
Everyone has a great angle.
Barring any unforeseen, situations, next week you guys can start looking for video highlights from the episodes, and then a few weeks later. Big change. Big news.
Let's not reveal quite
yet.
No.
Something else is coming. Success. This is like the appetizer before the entree, the video highlights. It's just little apps. Yeah. Little.
That's right.
I mean, snack. It's more like the menu because they're not really getting to see anything yet.
No. Next week, they'll start to see video highlights.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with
that's
you
That's the appetizer is what I'm saying.
That is the...
Don't
you know,
fill up on the highlights
that's
is all
the
I'm
slider.
Saying.
Yeah. That's the
slider. Well done.
That's the slider.
The little baby burger.
It's not... It's a two-bite burger is what I call it. Or if you're really motivated, it's any you know, anything can be a one-bite burger if you really try it.
But coming at the beginning of February, big changes to the show. Yeah. Really excited. Hey, Jesse, it's fun having you in the studio.
This is always a great time.
Thanks for getting the magic two good wins this weekend.
You know, when it gets to be crunch time at the end of the season, I'll be happy to come down to become more W's for the team. So I do everything that I can, you know.
Appreciate it.
Hey, I'll come down to the studio for the next one, Cameron.
That's right. Will be here. We're just rotating.
Yeah, on Tuesday's show.
Yep, on Tuesday's show.
Just
Annie will be live
that means
in the studio.
Tyler, you got to book a flight. You're next.
I'm on Expedia right now. I got to get in on this.
I am on Greyhound.com. I will be there in a week.
All right. On that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Chandler Strang.
I'm Tyler Huckabee.
And I'm Annie F. Downs.
We will see you on Tuesday. Have a good weekend, everyone.
I hold back, sometimes I won't, yeah. I feel good, sometimes I don't, I finesse down Western Road, might go down to G-O-D, I go hard on Southside G, I make sure that Northside E, and still.
Thank you for listening to the Relevant Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. Check out other shows from the Relevant Podcast Network in the podcast section at relevantmagazine.com. And while you're there, browse exclusive podcast merchandise at our online store. Make sure to subscribe to Relevant Magazine. Info is available at relevantmagazine.com/subscribe.
Hey, hey. She say, do you love me? I tell her only partly. I only love my bed and my mom, I'm sorry. 50 dub, I even got it tatted on me. 81, they'll bring the crashers to the party. And you know me, turn the 02 into the 03, dog. Without 40 Ollie, there be no me. Imagine if I never met the bro.
We just got a bumper pool room, a bumper pool table in the youth hall. And this is how you repay me, by building the kingdom of Devon.
Relevant Podcast Network.